all the time. God is good all the time. Well, I just thank God that he allows me to come and bring the word. And I just have to share, Pastor Kelly is so anointed. I don't like flattery. I really don't. But I like honesty. And I am truly honest that this woman is led by the Lord. Amen. She is holy. She is spirit-filled. She listens to God, and she obeys him. A few weeks ago, she preached a message on people change. And she used Apostle Paul and how God had used him and changed him and how he wrote most of the New Testament. Well, I have a cousin that died back in June from an overdose of fentanyl. Her and her husband used to be in ministry, and they fell back into the drug scene. And they come back out of the drug scene, and they went back to the drug scene. Her son told me that I would not recognize them and know who they were. So she had two other children. She had a girl and a boy. So, and then she had another boy. Shane is the oldest one, and he's the one that told me that I would not know them. Well, one of her sons called me and asked me if I would loan them the money for an apartment, or not an apartment. They live on the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and they're renting a room in a house, $1,200 a month for a room in a house, but where they're living is a real prestigious area, so you know you're going to pay the money for that. So anyway, he called me, asked me for the money, and I'm like, oh my gosh, his dad's in jail, his mom's dead, he's got a history of drugs, but people change. So I had to really pray about it, because the message that Pastor had was just so right on. So I tried. This is how God works, because my heart wanted to help them, and I felt bad that they were on the street. So four times I tried to send them money, and my card was denied. The bank denied it. So I was like, okay, Lord, I get it. So people change. They do change, but we still need to be wise in what we do. So my heart broke, and I sent them money anyway. And she talked a couple of weeks ago about forgiveness. And I was standing up here, and I was talking to Tyler, and I was talking to their family, and next thing you know, I got touched and bombarded with a family member that we've been at odds with. We hadn't had no contact with him, but Pastor Hector, that's my former pastor, Pastor Kelly preached that day. Now, how was it that God chose that message for that day, for that time, when he showed up here? Unexpectedly. And I said, oh my goodness, she is just so anointed, and she is so open to the Holy Spirit, and she listens to him, and he moves through her. And I praise God for that. That's my testimony for that. But today, because of this theme that God has had going on, I prayed, and I was going to talk about worship and how important worship was and how we need to worship all the time and just fill the atmosphere with worship at all times, in our homes. And so that was one. And then I forgot what the other one was. And then the Lord told me forgiveness. And I was like, but they've been talking about forgiveness. But he specifically this time wanted me to talk about the biblical model for forgiveness. And this is going to be more of a teaching than a preaching, because this class, when I was in Bible college, this was a class that I took. And Dr. Leah Coulter was my professor at the time. And she really brought this out and gave me a real understanding of biblical forgiveness. So I have a question for you. What do you think about when you think of forgiveness? For me, a lot of times, I get a lot of animosity, and I get my spirit, and I get all welled up, and I'm just like, oh, and then pretty soon I'm like, ugh. And why am I getting myself all messed up like that? And they don't even know anything is wrong. I heard a story about a man that got angry with another man, and he lived on a certain street. And he had to go down that street to go to work. But because he had so much unforgiveness for him and animosity for him, he would not drive that down that street. So he drove way out of his way to go. And I got to thinking, they were telling this story, and I got to thinking about it. I said, does that guy even know that he's going way out of his way because he has animosity against you and your street? I was like, why? You know, we do such ridiculous things because we have that hurt inside of us. So thinking about forgiveness, the one thing that really kind of stuck out to me that really bothered me was the fact that we must forgive. So forgiveness is what we have to do. Oh, that's what we've been taught all of our life, to forgive. Just let it go. Let it roll off your back like duck water off a duck's back. Don't even worry about it anymore. You forgave them, so it's all over with and done with. But every time you see them again, what do? You pray again. Lord, forgive them for what they did. I'm not going to hold it against them. Or maybe it's something that you did to somebody, that you sinned to somebody. And every time you go back and you see them again, what are you doing? You're going back to the altar of the God and asking for forgiveness again and again and again. So we just keep forgiving. When we do this way, it's called a unilateral mold, model. So unilateral means one way. One way is me and God. That's it. The forgiveness is between me and God, no one else, and I don't have to do anything else except for forgive that way. But if I do it that way, unilaterally, I have to keep doing it over and over and over again. So forgiveness never gets completed. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. Yep, we'll get it. Okay, so it says here,
in 34, but when the Pharisees heard that we had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they brought up a fresh question of their own to ask him. One of them, an expert in religious law, he tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, what is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied in 37, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. In 39, the second is, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all the other demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So Jesus taught that we must love God first. Then second, love our neighbor. So what that does is it creates a two-dimensional model of forgiveness. There's our vertical forgiveness, and there's our horizontal forgiveness. And we also have our unilateral forgiveness, which is between me and God. So Jesus is telling us there's these two dimensions. Oh, our vertical and horizontal. Let me get my notes here. So if we have unforgiveness in our hearts and we don't have the horizontal and we have the vertical, but if these two are not complete, God, you know, our prayers will be hindered. So for me, I'm real excited about forgiveness because I do not want my prayers hindered. My relationship with God is going to affect others if I don't have forgiveness in my heart towards God. Two voices are heard in Scripture regarding repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness goes hand in hand. Let's turn to Mark 11:25. I had these all marked and I lost my mark. 25, we are right here. And what's so exciting is this is Jesus speaking. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins also. So see, what happens is our prayers are hindered when we hold a grudge and we have unforgiveness in our hearts. Let's go to Luke 17:3. Now remember I said there's two models of repentance. This one is unilateral. This one is vertical. Oh, 17:3, okay. I am warning you, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, I am warning you, if another believer sins, rebuke him. Then if he repents, forgive him. So we're talking about a horizontal
image of forgiveness. So trying to follow these commands in a unified, unilateral viewpoint seems contradictory and confusing. One scripture says, forgive anything, and the other says to rebuke. So we understand this from the two-dimensional viewpoint, and it will all make sense. Mark 11:25 prepares our hearts in our relationship with God. That's vertical. It prepares our hearts. And Luke 17:3 moves our feet towards reconciliation when there is repentance. Quite a few years ago, my cousin, who was her husband, was the associate pastor at the church that we were going to, and they fell back into their drugs. And I had bought Paul a bomber jacket, and that was something that he'd always wanted, was a bomber jacket. And I found one that was real leather, 100% leather. And so I bought it for him, and I gave it to him for his birthday or something, I don't know, whatever. And it was hanging in the closet. Well, my cousin's husband, his name is Paul also, he broke into our house. He didn't break in. He just walked in. We always left the back door open in case one of the kids came. So he walked in, and first thing he did was go and get that bomber jacket. Well, that really made Paul mad. Well, then we found out that there was a check missing, and we couldn't figure out where that check went. Paul thought I had wrote it. I thought Paul had wrote it. Well, we come to find out the checkbook was laying there. He took a check and went to the bank and cashed it for $500. So we had a real kind of resentment towards them for what they did. We went and we told the pastor what happened, because he's the assistant pastor, but they're back into the drugs, and the pastor didn't know that. So Paul and I went and ratted him out. So anyway, they had made a difference. They had made a change. They had gotten into so much trouble that they escaped and went to Virginia to stay with some family members, and then they moved on and everything. Well, they were doing really good. They were back in church. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing, and then they fell out again. They fell apart again, and they got back into the drugs. So he says here to rebuke them. So we went. He sinned against us. He owed us an apology. But what we did was we drove all the way to Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to forgive them. And he just fell into Paul and just wept. But, you know, and now he's getting out of jail, and he probably has the jailhouse religion. I don't know. I am praying for him that God will just grab his heart and change his heart and turn that heart and squeeze it and get it and take that black heart and turn it into gold. Okay, so when we've been sinned against, Scripture is equally clear regarding our two dimensions: relationship with God and our relationship with others. So let's go to Matthew 5:23. Here we go.
pleading with him to heal his little daughter. Oh, it's 5:23. Okay. Okay, thank you. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. We had a situation in the church that I pastored in Clarksville, and Paul was helping this young woman, and he was taking her to work every day. He would go and pick her up, and he'd take her to work. Well, she was telling him some of the things that she was going through, and so as she was getting out of the truck, he patted her on the shoulder and says, "It's going to be okay. Don't worry." And she took it the wrong way. And so what she did was she went around telling everybody that Paul had made a pass at her. Well, you know, that killed Paul. He was so hurt. He attended church, but he sat in my office. He couldn't come out because he was so wounded and so broken. So what Paul did, well, the next Sunday I preached, leave your gift, go, and repent. And my other scripture about go to them privately. And then if they don't answer, if they don't repent and they don't apologize, take someone with you. If they don't repent and apologize then take them to the church. And so Paul did that. He went through that process to get the forgiveness, just to apologize to her so she knew that his intentions were not at all what she thought they were. So there was reconciliation there, and there was repentance there. And that was one time when I saw God really move. God really moved in her, and God really moved in Paul. And some of the other people in our congregation also. So we are commanded to repent. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there you remember your brother or sister has something against you. So he's saying, don't even give your gift. Go. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go and be reconciled to them. Then come and give your offering. So important. My sister-in-law is the sweetest, precious woman you'd ever want to meet. And in my days of sin, there was a time when I was very inebriated, and I said something to other people about her in front of her, and it just really hurt her. And when I was preparing this message, I was asking the Lord, is there anyone that I have sinned against that I have not asked forgiveness for? Well, she came to mind. Well, this was 40 years ago. What do I do? So I was praying, and I was praying about it, and I was asking the Lord, I said, give me the courage to call her and ask forgiveness. And I did. And she says, oh, I forgive you. And we talked and we laughed, and it was just, what a relief. I felt so wonderful. I felt like bricks were taken off of my shoulders and the weight of the world was no longer on my shoulders, which I did not even know that they were there until God showed me that I needed to repent and I needed to ask forgiveness. And she was so gracious. She said, oh, I forgive you. And there was another person involved with that situation, and she goes, oh, that was so-and-so that did that. And I go, I know, but I didn't need to repeat it, and I did not need to be involved. So I ask you to forgive me. She says, I forgive you. So my willingness to go and to seek forgiveness from the one I offended is my first step. Me asking God to forgive me is unilateral. It's only one way. I still have the burden. I still have the pain. I'm still carrying that from my sin against her. But when I was able to repent to her and ask for her forgiveness, it was all released. Now, see, for 40 years I carried that. Now it's gone. Praise the Lord, it's so gone. So it's gone. So that's our first step, is that we have to go to them and ask for forgiveness. So my horizontal steps towards reconciliation must take place before my vertical relationship with God can take place. We must be willing in our heart to forgive. Now, sometimes we're not willing to do that. We say, oh, they did that to me, and it was so terrible. How awful. They don't deserve my forgiveness. But we have to be willing to forgive them. Even if it hurts so bad, you just have to release it and let go, and God will help you when you need to get forgiveness. I don't want you. Don't make me. I don't like them. Let's go to Colossians 3:13. It says, you must make allowances for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. See, that's where we have to be willing. We have to be willing to forgive their faults. It's like I have a hard time forgiving you of your faults, because I don't have any. But we have to be willing to overlook some things, because people will make mistakes. People are human. And sometimes things happen that happen, and they just don't need to be brought up and asked repentance for. I was a new Christian, and I had been at I used to go to the West Coast Believers Convention every year. And we used to go with my friends, and we used to have such a ball. We'd go and have a great old time there, and praising the Lord and getting a lot of training and teaching and everything. And while we were there, the other girls started talking about someone in our church, and they were going on about this. Well, she had done something also that I didn't approve of, and so I joined in the, you can't believe what she did, and she's a Christian. Well, she did not know that we had this conversation. She didn't know anything about it, and so I called her. I started feeling guilty for talking about her like that, so I called her and I said, Barbara, can I come and talk to you? Yes. So I went to her and I says, I want to apologize and ask your forgiveness, because I was talking about you behind your back and gossiping with the other girls. And she looks at me, well, what were you talking about? What was it? Sometimes you just have to let things go, overlook some things. Do you know that caused a problem, because it ruined our relationship? And I was like, oh my gosh, just don't. You know, you got to ask God, should I go or should I stay? Should I go or should I stay? So from a unilateral perspective, we have mistakenly believed that we must forgive people who have never repented to us. Also, we have been taught that if we've sinned against others, we only need to unilaterally ask for forgiveness.
God, forgive me for what I did to them. And then you walk around thinking you're okay. And then, like I said before, when you run into them again and you meet them again, what are you doing? Oh, Lord, forgive me for what I did to them. But what you have to do is you have to go to them and ask forgiveness. Just like I did with my sister-in-law, Carol, I went and I asked forgiveness. Now, God forgives me, because we know that God does not forgive unrepented sin. It hinders our prayers if we do not forgive. Let's go to Matthew 18, 15 through 20. Now, this is Jesus talking. I always like to emphasize that when things are in the letter, in red letter, that means Jesus is talking. And for me, I don't know about you, it's however you, but that's so much more important to me, because this is what Jesus said. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the fault. This is like I said before with what happened with Paul. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go back again, so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If that person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If the church decides you are right, but the person but the other person won't accept it, this is the part that's always sad, but this is Jesus' words. This is what he says. Treat that person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. I tell you this, whatever you prohibit on earth is prohibited in heaven, and whatever you allow on earth is allowed in heaven. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do for you. For where two or three are gathered together because they are mine, I am there with them also, among them. That's real exciting. That was one of my favorite scriptures when I first became a Christian, because I wanted I wanted to know that God's presence was there. So God commands us to go. He says, leave your gift at the altar and go. He tells you to go and take somebody with you. It's so important for wrongs. You guys can say it for me. Wrongs are done with no chance of, if there's irreconcilable differences, sins against you, and there is no chance of repentance from the offender, I suggest you use a revoking revenge prayer. And counseling. You need counseling. That I understand that they owe me a debt, they sinned against me, and what they did was wrong and not me. A lot of times we think that this happened because it was my fault. As a girl growing up, I was molested many times by different people, and I always thought it was my fault.
And this, when I've learned this, that these, a revoking revenge and counseling, I'm still in counseling, Pastor Hector, you're not Hector, you're Pastor Kelly said that she went to counseling, and you know what she said that really made a lot of sense to me is to break the mold. Because a lot of times when we have irrevocable sins against it, that we can't take them away. We can't go to that person. Perhaps that person's dead. Perhaps it's not safe to go to that person and ask, tell them that you sinned against me. You owe me an apology. Or just not like that. But you go and you say, you know, when you did this, this really hurt me. And it gives them a chance. But counseling helps too. And I had to learn that all of this stuff that happened to me is irreconcilable because most of them are all dead. I was, you know that ancestry? That could be dangerous. I put my DNA in there, and I get a lot of DNA matches. I had one DNA match that this man said, I'm looking for my biological mother. You wouldn't happen to know who she is. And I'm like, I don't know. I have a very large family. I don't know who it would be. But my mother is Indian, and I was trying to get her number, her roll number, because when you're an Indian, you've got to have a number, and that proves that you're an Indian, you're from this line. And that's what I was trying to do. So that's mainly why I went on Ancestry. And all of a sudden, I got one of those leaves, and it said, and it had my mom's last name, Radar. And I was like, oh, my goodness, who is this? Who could this be? And come to find out, it was a cousin. And she was the daughter of one of my uncles, my mother's brother. And right away, it stirred up some trouble because my uncle molested me when I was a teenage girl. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I hope she doesn't ask me anything about her father. And so I contacted a cousin, and I asked her if she knew this person or anything about that side, what was going on. And she said, oh, my gosh, he's terrible. He molested me when I was a teenager. So he did it to her, too. Okay, now we know that for her and myself, a debt was incurred. So that offender is indebted to me. He's indebted to my cousin, but he's not here anymore. So what do I do? That's one of the reasons that God commands in 5:24, Matthew 5:24, to leave your gift. Leave your gift. Leave your sacrifice there beside the altar. Go and be reconciled to the person. Well, he can't be reconciled. He's not here. So there's a debt that's owed to me. So what I do is I go to the Lord and I say, Lord, there's a debt. Horizontally, there's a debt that's been created. And Lord, I can't do anything about it. So what I want to do is turn it vertically and turn it over to the debt collector. He died for my sins. He died for my Uncle Carl's sins. And he is the debt collector. He values our losses because when it hurts us,
it hurts him. Just like if somebody hurt one of my kids, Mama Bear comes out, and Mama Bear's hurt. You don't hurt one of my babies. That's the way God is. And you know, it's so neat that I could just turn everything like that over to my Father vertically. Even though there's nothing horizontal that can be done, but I can switch that vertically. And it belongs to my God now. God says, vengeance is mine. So, for irreconcilable wrongs, there are three phases for the sinned against. Remember and mourn your pain and loss. A lot of times we just bury it. We just put it down inside of us and we just say, oh, let it roll like water off a duck's back. It doesn't happen like that. It gets in to our spirit and it's there. So mourn it. Recognize it. Admit it. This happened to me. Lord, we could bring it to Him and just say, Lord, this happened. He knows it. And it hurt Him too. Then it says, hold the offender responsible, number two, for the sins committed against us, against me or you. Hold him responsible. But we're going to turn it this way and turn it to God. Third, this is what we do. We transfer the debt out of our internal courts to the heavenly courts by relinquishing to God our debt, the debt that was against us. I'm not going to collect the debt. God's going to be the debt collector. Romans 12:19. Do not take revenge, my dear friend, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. God says, it's mine now. It's not yours. Turn it over to me. Give it to me. Give it to Him. I want to ask you tonight if there's anybody that has irreconcilable sins against them. I'm sure we all do. I'm sure we all do. And that pain. So I'm going to invite you tonight. Do not take revenge, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. And I see myself going back. I've been hurt, and you know, most times when a little kid gets hurt, they go and they run to their mommy or daddy and they hang on to their leg. Well, that's what I do. I run and I hang on to my daddy's leg. So today, tonight, if you have some irreconcilable differences and you want to be released, I would ask you to stand. Doing now is, as we're standing, we're saying, God, help me with this unforgiveness, and help me to remember, Lord, that when horizontally I can't get forgiveness horizontally. I can't get my debt paid. I can't get reconciliation. Lord, I release it right now, and I turn it up to you, and I give it to you, Lord God. And it's no longer, I'm releasing that right now out of my courts, of my inner self. And Lord, I'm putting it right now in the courts of heaven. And I'm releasing it to you, Lord God, and letting you have vengeance. It's all yours, Lord. We release it right now in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. And now we are going to get up out of our sackcloth and ashes, and we are going to step out of it, and we are free, and we're going to walk free, freely now, because it's gone. We've given it over, and it's all His. And you know, I think sometimes His vengeance is probably a lot harder than my vengeance would be. I'm not a fighter. Only one time have I ever got real upset and wanted to take things in my own hands, but you know, God does a better job. So thank you.
Amen. Y'all stand to your feet. Sorry, Bobby. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done in this service and in this day. Lord, I ask that you bless all these folks here. Lord, bless us and keep us. Make your face to shine upon us, God, and give us peace. Lord, give us breakthrough. We thank you for all these things in this week, God. In Jesus' name, amen.